We're glad you're joining us from wherever you are, whether it's Sunday or later in the week. We're just tickled that you're here and those who are here in person. This is going to be an important message for you. I don't know if when you see that title, what you think about, but we're going to be ministering on honor. Honor in a culture of dishonor. Honor when we are surrounded by dishonor. How many of you would agree with me today that we're living currently in a culture of dishonor? It's all around us, isn't that right? Teachers could tell you. I mean, there are things, disrespect in the classroom is at a high rate, not at OK Elementary, but other places, right? Amen. For those of you who are joining us, we're honoring, hey, if you want to honor, we're adopting teachers here at Faith Community Church, and you can be a part of it too. Just let the church office know. We're going to adopt the teachers in our public school here and encourage them and honor them, but it's not that way everywhere. And today I listen to teachers and some of the stories they tell me, it's almost too hard to believe. How about law enforcement? You know, when I see a policeman at Quick Trip or something, I make a point to go up and honor them and speak to them and thank them and just tell them I appreciate them. You don't know how valuable that is. And these cards you're sending to teachers, it's about honoring people. How about the elderly? How about government? You know, oh, and politics, the workplace, family relationships. There is a culture of dishonor that is overtaking us. In fact, it's even slipped into the church. But I believe, and I've prayed much over this sermon, I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to restore the ministry of honor to every single believer, especially in this culture. Some of you have been looking for ministry. Pastor, I'm praying for a ministry. You just found one. Everybody gets to participate and help in the establishing of a culture of honor. Now, let's begin by defining some terms here, opposite terms, so we know what we're talking about. We have dishonor. To dishonor is one term, and the opposite is to honor. What do these words mean? Well, there are two Greek words that are used, and the dishonor word means to treat as common or familiar. Common or familiar. And I want to just stop here for a minute. We didn't do this in first service, but I was thinking of Mark 6 this morning, because when we see the word familiar, does that look like a word you know? How about family? I think so oftentimes in family, it becomes common. It becomes ordinary. It can happen in marriage, where when you first get married, you honor one another, but then it becomes common. It gets old, right? In fact, Jesus had that experience. Can I just, I know it's not up on the screen, but I'm intrigued by this story. Jesus has just been around doing great miracles, right? Everybody's following him. And then he goes to his hometown. He says, but Jesus looked at the crowd, and the crowd said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said this, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house, family. He was being dishonored. And you know what the results were of that? And now he could do not many mighty works there, except that he had laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. I believe that there is power in honor, but there's also power in dishonor. And so when we dishonor, when we count things as common or familiar or ordinary, I believe it can shut the door to things that God wants to do in our life. I believe coming to church on Sunday is an act of honor. But you know, it can become common. It can become familiar. It can become ordinary. Oh, we do it all the time. And all of a sudden, it's not special anymore. Because here's what the word honor means. The Greek word for honor, tima, it means to value at a price. To value at a price, to respect. See, that's what God is calling us to as the church. When we think about in this culture we're living in, how do we get back this place of honor, to value things, and sometimes at a price, you know, like, is it sometimes costly to, or just emotionally even, to get up on a Sunday morning after a hard weekend and be able to come to church? You know, when you do that, you're honoring the body of Christ. You're honoring the body of Christ. For some, it's become so common, it's easy. Oh, I got things to do. That's a dishonor position. God is calling us back to value things that are valuable. The Apostle Paul used this Greek word, tima, in Romans 12:10. It's on the screen. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight. Take delight in timoing one another. Take delight. You see what he's saying here? This is not an honor that I have to do. This is not out of duty that I do it. He's saying this is a delightful thing that we're going to do. We're going to want to do it. We're going to find joy in it. We're going to be excited about it. Can you imagine going to a church that delights in honoring one another? Can you imagine in your family having a marriage that delights in one another? Don't let it become familiar. Connie and I were coming back from Kansas City last night late, exchanging with one another. I don't know what it was, but I don't know how to explain it to you, but we both at the same time told each other we loved each other. And I said, man, I'm so glad to be married to you. And man, it's been a great journey all these years. And of course, you know, we've had 7 funerals in 7 weeks. That'll do something to you. Pretty soon you start looking at life a little different and trying to figure things out. What's valuable in our days together? How important they are? Don't let them become common. Don't dishonor these days that God has given to us, but delight in honoring each other. Peter used the same word in 1 Peter 2:17. He said, honor all people. He said, love the brotherhood. Fear God. You sure about this last part? Honor the king, he said. What king? What king? You got to remember when these words were written, Christianity was not an accepted religion. In fact, everyone opposed it, especially government. And now, Peter and Paul both are saying to the early church, listen, we need to honor. I think they were advocating to the early church in its infant stage to develop a culture of honor. He wants us to honor. I was reading recently, some of you may know Pastor Skip Hendricks. How do you say it? Isaac, yes. Calvary Church. And I was reading an article that he had written for his church. They had undertaken intentionally the thought of establishing a culture of honor in their church. And they decided to answer this question: what does a culture of honor look like in a church? And Skip came up with this mantra, a filter, that I'd like for us to adopt. It's very simple to remember, but powerful. Here's what they say. First, honor up. Honor up. Honor those above you. Honor those who are in authority over you. That can even be difficult people. That can even be people you disagree with. See, you can disagree with people and be honorable. You can have a culture of honor and respect and value. Honor up. Secondly, honor down. You can write this on the back of your insert, okay? I didn't have it in there, but you can do that because it's simple to remember, because we're going to keep coming back to it. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, honor those who serve under you. Maybe you're a boss. Maybe you're in ministry here. For lack of a better way to say it, those who you would deem who might be under you, we need to honor them. So we honor up, we honor down, and thirdly, we honor all around. Honor all around. Say, Pastor, I don't know about that one. That might be a little hard. You mean we honor everybody? Well, that's what Peter said. He said, we are to value everyone. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus came and died on a cross because he loved the world. It's one of the most honoring things he could have done for us, don't you think? Did he not put value in us, on us? And if Jesus did that, can I not also honor in that same spirit? Honor. Honor up. Honor down. Honor all around. Bill Johnson, and I quote him, he said, a culture of honor is celebrating who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. That is a powerful, let me say it to you again. A culture of honor is celebrating who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. We can oftentimes, right, this happens in some of the times we're trying to honor people and we get focused on their shortcomings. We get focused on their sin and their life because you and I don't have any sin, right? That's why it's so hard for us to understand. Not true. It's just that my sin looks different on you than it does on me, right? We got to be careful because it blocks the spirit of honor, this culture of honor that evidently Peter and Paul felt was important even in the infancy stage of the church to be able to exhort the church. This culture of honor was going to be powerful and important. You say, well, how big a deal is it, Pastor? Well, how do you know if something's a big deal in Scripture? It's by how much page time it gets, right? So I want to share with you 10. This is not in your insert, but so I just want you to look at it, just so you understand how important this is. 10 principles of honor and respect. 10 ways to honor and respect. And this isn't all of them, but this is just what I call the top 10. Here's the first 5. We're to honor God. We're to honor God. Exodus 20, the 10 commandments, the first 4 or 5, they're all about respecting God and honoring God, right? So Proverbs 3:9, we honor God with our wealth. This whole idea of give God honor and glory, that's got to be where we start, right? We're also told to honor parents. In that same chapter, honor your mother and your father. I got a question for you, because surely God knew that man was in a fallen state and he was broken. And and that's why Jesus was going to come later, because man couldn't save himself. Didn't he know that parents would not be perfect? Didn't he know that some of us would have terrible parents and some of us would have good parents, but no one would have perfect parents except April? You're supposed to go, yes, amen. No.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, good. I didn't sense a lot of delight there, but it was good enough. Okay, I'll take it. See, that exhortation was given knowing full well that the people we would give honor to might be dishonorable. And it was the first commandment with a promise. He said, if you'll do this, the power of honor, you will live a good long life. Wow, that's good. I'd like that. How about you? He said, he went on and said, husbands, honor your wives. Yeah, as a weaker vessel. Now, don't get offended by that, ladies. He said that in Peter, didn't he? He said, honor your wife as a weaker vessel. That doesn't mean something down here and you're up here. You know what that means? That's a vessel that's fragile. That's a vessel that's priceless. That's a vessel that, it's like the difference of a porcelain plate and a piece of china. Your wife is china, okay? And let me tell you, when you clean china, you don't clean it like you do porcelain, okay? You treat it with honor. You treat it with respect, right? And that's the way it is. Why don't we open the door anymore for our wives? Oh, it's sexist. No, it's not. It's honor. It's honor. Try it. I'm not perfect at it, but I like to do that when I can. And I like to include a little smooch in there if I can. Hey, a little kiss. I love you. You know, it's a place of honor. Everybody wants to be honored. Ladies, you're supposed to respect and honor your husband. Ephesians 5. How about the elderly? Yeah. Leviticus 19 says, well, we don't do this anymore. Some cultures do, but not ours. When an elderly person walks in the room, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. I love the story of David when he was in the throne room. I mean, he's the king. You don't come before the king without an invitation. You better have a pass. You better have your little pass or whatever, because you could lose your life going before the king without permission. And I remember the story. I can't remember where it's at. Some of you could look it up, where David's mother comes into the throne room. Do you remember what he did? She didn't even ask permission. She just walked in and he rised up and he bowed down. What is that? It's honor. The king was honoring because he knew what the word said. You honor your mother and your father. She was not a perfect mom, that's for sure. But we need to honor those who are elder. Now, elderly is anyone who's 10 years older than you, okay? Yeah, I would say, you know, people are old who are 10 years older than me, and they're young if they're 10 years younger than me, right? I remember my son, I borrowed his truck one day. I told him I was going to go help a senior citizen paint their house. He says, Dad, you are a senior citizen. It's all relative, isn't it? We have enough time, hard enough time getting kids to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. There was a time in our culture when that was expected. It was a place of honor. You just didn't talk to people. We've somehow, a new culture has arisen. Next five. We are to, this is just 10. We're to honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3. We're to honor widows who are widows indeed. We're to honor our employer, our boss. Bosses are to honor employees. What's Timothy say? Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. 1 Peter 2:18, not on the screen, write it down. Servants, be submissive to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Whoa, you're kidding? No. Honor. I've had some difficult bosses over my life, but I've learned the power of honor, even with those individuals. And it's amazing what God does when you show honor. Leviticus says, pay fair wages to your servants or to your employees. Treat your employees with honor. You know, when I was in business, we had developed the Love Pledge. You all know what the Love Pledge is. And Julie White was working for me at the time. And we sat down together and we pounded that out, this whole idea of loving each other. It was really, we could have said it was the honor pledge, but we pledged to love each other. I, as an employer, and Kendra became part of that team, and L, to listen to each other, not just to agree, but to understand. O, to put the other person first, and not just yourself. That's easy to do as a boss. You know, it's all about me. And no, it's the other person first. V, to value, to say things, do things every day that bring value. I remember walking out of the door and turning and saying, listen, I love you guys. I appreciate you. You're worth so much more than I can pay you. That's an honoring thing, you see. You're not just a typewriter. You're not just furniture to be moved around. You're people. And we love each other and we want to honor one another. And in that culture, great things can happen. Is that right? Oh, E, we would encourage each other. That's honoring. We're to honor government authorities. So that's a difficult one, isn't it? Sometimes for us, by the way, Romans 13:16 does not exist. It's Romans 13:1-6, right? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Remember what we read, 1 Peter 2:17, honor the king, honor, honor, honor. We're to honor leaders in ministry. 1 Timothy 5:17, elders who rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, you can pencil that in there. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. That includes everybody who's ministering. How about children's workers? We're honoring our teachers at OK Elementary. That's appropriate. How about the teachers here? Some of them are teaching your children. Do you honor them? Sometimes what we do is we just critique them all the time. I tell you, a little honor goes a long way. Man, I appreciate you. Thank you for spending time with my children. Thank you for it. We should just outdo one another in honoring one another. It should be overflowing in our lives. You know, a little gift doesn't hurt. A little note sometimes. I'll tell you, I'd rather have a note any day than money. You can give me money, I'll take it. But you put an old note with it, I'll keep that. I'll spend your money, but I'll keep your note. I'll keep your note for a long time. I remember, some of you know the story, my daughter knows, I used to go on prayer retreats when I pastored Valley Center. And one of the things I would always do on my prayer retreat is I'd come home and give my children a letter and my wife a letter. And I would just write to them whatever I felt God would speak to my heart. Well, I knew my daughter would read it, but I wasn't sure about my son. He never said anything. He never said thank you, nothing. And then it came time in 1997 when we moved to Wichita and we're moving the furniture. You find great things when you move furniture. We found a peanut butter sandwich plastered to the wall that had to be years old. But then I found a box, and all my letters were in them, every one of them, opened, read. Wow, I felt honored at that moment. So let's just real quickly today, in the time we have, we can do this. Take out your insert on the front part. We're going to look at five blessings of honor. And you can fill them in there, and we're going to use the acrostic, make it easy, H-O-N-O-R. Let's take the letter H first. The ministry of honoring always flows from a humble heart. always flows from a humble heart. In Matthew 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus was confronting some of the religious leaders of the day. He was challenging their traditions. And one of the things he was coming against is just what we're talking about, is that they were not honoring their parents, and they were using their traditions to change the scriptures and to set their parents aside and not provide for them. And Jesus turned to them and he said, "In this way, you say that you don't need to honor your parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, when he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" God doesn't just, he doesn't just, you know, that duty honor. No, it's not just getting the words right, you know, because we're supposed to, but the heart has to be involved. That's a blessing that comes from true honor. It's just a change of heart. Now, I got Proverbs 15:13. It's really 18:12. I don't know where 15:13 came from. Read it. It might be God. But 18:12, "Before the destruction of the heart of a man is haughtiness, and before honor is humility." Humility always comes before honor. 1 Peter 5:5 through 6. "In this same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility." There it is. "As you relate to one another." Why? "For God opposes the proud," that haughtiness, "and he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor." So honor is a work of grace. It brings grace when we honor. How about the letter O? This is great. Oh, this is powerful. I've seen it. People who honor, they seem to always get the open doors and the opportunities. Something about honor that opens doors and brings opportunities. Yeah, again, you're looking for a ministry, you just found one. You're waiting for open doors, start honoring. See what opportunities come out of a culture of honor. In Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Okay, yeah, that's the church, but not others. That's not what he said. Especially here, this should be first, but it should overflow onto others. Remember what Peter said, all men. In Galatians 4:3-6, "Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response from everyone." I'm telling you, when you talk to people, some of us are just... Speak to people with honor. Speak to them. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 says. Didn't you think about it when you heard those words? Yeah. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with," are you ready? "Gentleness and respect." That's our word, isn't it? If you're going to give an answer to people, if you're going to share about Jesus, do it with respect. Do it with honor. Stop beating people up all the time or taking your scripture and pounding them over the head. It's with honor that you speak. Let them know they have great value. That's why Jesus came and died for them, and he loves them. It's the most honor and respectful thing you can do. Love people till they ask you why. Just keep doing it. Hey, how about the letter N? This is powerful. A negativity buster. That's what honor is, let me tell you. Honoring people. The people I know that really have a culture of honor in their life, they're the most positive people I know. I don't meet too many negative honoring people. Because when you start dishonoring, turn on the TV, what do you see? People are angry and upset. Is that right? It happens in politics, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't care what side you're on. Isn't it amazing how we want everybody to honor our guy, but we won't honor theirs? You say, "But Pastor, I don't agree." I'm not asking you to agree. I'm asking you to honor, respect, value. You'll be amazed how much you'll get done and how what kind of influence you can have on people who are totally on the opposite side of you just through a spirit of honor. They'll listen to you. But if you go with dishonor, if you begin to make familiar and common and you're just, they won't listen to a word you have to say. I believe that This positive attitude that comes through honor opens these doors for us. How about Philippians 4:8? Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Let your mind dwell on these things. I talk to people sometimes for a whole hour. It's all negative. That's dishonoring. Listen, Philippians 2:14 through 15, do everything without complaining and arguing. I wish he said some things. He said everything, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, dishonoring people. God's going to put you right in the middle of them. Don't complain about this dishonoring culture. Just stand in the middle of it and shine. It's your opportunity. Great darkness will come over the land. Great darkness will come over the hearts of the people. But arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's that spirit of honor that rises up in us. Amen. That's what God did through Jesus. He came and ministered. Oh, here's this is another O. Second O, this is a big O. Big O. Others first. Others first. I'll tell you, this is the fruit and blessing of a culture of honor, that we put other people first. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. You knew we would read this one, didn't you? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Oh, that word keeps coming up. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others also. My wife and I were reading a book this week called Bridegroom in the Clouds. This is book one, The Promise. It's written by Susan Schultz right over there. This is actually her third book. I met with Susan this week in my office. I was wowed by her. You know what the first thing she did? She had this big sack full of her manuscripts and stuff, and she walked over and she put it in my lap. It was heavy. She said, "That's my burden. Just wanted you to know how heavy it is." Wow. She was right. And so when Connie and I travel, we like to read to each other. You know, it's a good use of your time. And so we were reading through this book, and there was a quote, actually a quote from Joe, her husband, who Joe just told me, it's actually you got it from your mom. Is that right? Is that true? So it got passed down, right? But I thought it's a great honoring statement. When you walk into a room with other people, don't think, "Here I am." Think, "There you are." I like that. Because it's too easy for me, especially in my... here I am. Here I am, the life of the party. I'm here. No. It's all me. My focus should be, "There you are." And I should ask God to use me in that room to bless other people, to honor them. How do you honor them? Let them know you're glad they're there. Value them at a price. Let people know. I heard somebody right after the message at first service. They immediately put the message in place. Frank was over there, and somebody came up to him. "Frank, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you and love you and honor you and respect you." Man, I saw Frank's countenance change. It's the power of honor, isn't it? To put other people first. Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ, which is to love one another. This weekend, we went to Kansas City. As you know, we've just had too many funerals lately. And our niece, by marriage, my brother's daughter, passed away this week in Kansas City. And we went up for a funeral. And it was an amazing funeral because she had been an alcoholic and a drug addict most of her life. And there was destruction everywhere. In fact, her three children would not come to her funeral. So much hurt, so much pain, so much unforgiveness. I wish I should have thought and had some pictures up here for you. I could show them on my phone. But over the last 3 years, she got her life straightened out. It's just amazing. And in fact, she's been taking care of my brother and his wife for the last 3 years, take care of their every need 24/7. And this is what was said at her funeral by one of her friends, that she wanted to honor her parents because of all the pain she had brought to them over the years. And for 3 years, night and day, day and night. She honored them by serving them. I thought, wow. And then the real kicker was when, what, 7, 8 people, they called them the tribe, came up on the platform, 7 women, and they all said that she had saved their lives and brought them out of addiction and brought them to Jesus. It was powerful. I was like, whoa. Because see, the work of redemption oftentimes will express itself in honor, won't it? As we put other people, when we start honoring, we start caring about other people, and pretty soon things get flipped on their side. And here's a young lady, says, I'm going to honor my parents. And this statement was made at the funeral. I can't remember. It might have been her best friend who said it. Said that the greatest apology someone can make to someone is a changed life. And I'm praying that her children will see this funeral because it's taped. Thank God for technology. And someday they'll, because they spoke directly to her children, wanted her to know, yeah, you're right about all this, but look at this. And God has a way of redeeming and honoring that redemption spirit that is in our life. John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Remember, open door. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer, honoring others. It's an open door. You want to be evangelistic? Say, I'm not very good at sharing Jesus. Start honoring people. I'll guarantee they'll come looking for you. You start honoring people and they're going to ask why. You know what the problem today is? People aren't asking. Why are they not asking? Because we're not doing it. They won't ask unless they have a reason to ask. I believe honoring will cause people to want to know why. Why are you honoring me, especially when I have dishonored you? See, I don't have to honor somebody that's dishonored me. Oh, contraire. That's the perfect time to honor. When someone dishonors you, you honor them back. It's powerful. It opens doors. It puts other people first, especially when they don't deserve to be honored by our culture. We honor anyway. It's a kingdom thing. And what about the last letter? Get ready. It's reaping. This is great. When you walk into a culture of honor, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap what you sow. Luke 6:38. Now, this scripture is, I know we use it to talk about money all the time. You know, as you give, it'll be given back to you. But I wonder if it could be applied to every time I'm giving of my life. Because I don't just give money. I give my time. When you've heard me say, time is life. When somebody gives you their time, it's the most honorable thing they do because that is their life. They can't get it back. They can get more money, but they can't get more time. And so when you're giving people time and you're honoring them, I believe you can claim this scripture. Give and it will be given to you. You give honor, honor will come back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I believe that. I've heard people say, well, nobody ever honors me. Yeah. And probably you don't honor others like you should. I have people say, nobody ever listens to me. It's because you're talking all the time. You need to start listening to others. And they'll listen to you. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You honor others, I believe honor will come back to you. And here's the great scripture I want to end on. This is powerful. 1 Samuel 2:30, God is talking to the children of Israel. And in the midst of that scripture, he says, but I will honor those who honor me. I will honor those who honor me. Is it a big deal? I think it's everything. And I'm praying as we come to the table this morning that you will see this cup and this bread as a table of honor. God has honored you. You don't believe? Remember, what's the definition of honor? To value at a price. God honored you. He gave his son. We were talking this morning about we had a 1963 Fairlane that we put on. We were young, trying to get some money. So we put my car on the market. I asked $600 for it. If anybody knows where that car is, I'll buy it for double that amount right now. But I put it in the paper, fully expecting no problem to sell it. First call, I'll give you 300. No, it's worth much more than that. No, no, no. Okay, change your mind, call me. Next call, I'll give you 250. And it just kept going downhill from there. I went, what's the matter with these people? God paid top dollar for you. No greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for you. Do you feel honored today? You should. Because God honored you. How can we not honor him? How can we not honor up, honor down, and honor all around? I'm telling you, it'll change your marriage. It'll change your life. It'll change this church. I'd like to be part of a church where we just honor one another all the time instead of picking on each other. And not that there's not a lot to pick on. We're like little chicks sometimes. I can see that. I can see that. Now, honor. Remember what the brother said? I got to find it. Bill Johnson. A culture of honor is celebrating who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. That's the culture we want to see. I want that in my life. If you guys don't listen to this message, I'm listening to it, okay? I'm ready. I started it yesterday. That funeral just stirred me up. I thought, these are places of honor. We're honoring. Aren't we? Isn't that what we're doing? We should. And I walked away encouraged because that's what honor does. So were there some negative things we could have talked about? Yeah, some of them got up, shared, started using foul language. Boy, that shook the righteous people, let me tell you. But I looked beyond that, and I saw something else, because God was working in these young women's lives. It all happened because someone valued them at a price. Are you ready? You ready? You need some fix-up time in your marriage? Start right here with honor. Amen. Father, we're going to come to the table this morning. It's a table of honor, and it represents the value that we hold in your eyes, because you loved us, and love is the heart of honor. You loved us, and you gave your all. And so how can we not honor others when we have been so honored? And so, Lord, we give you all honor and glory. That's where we got to start today. Let it overflow into all our lives as we receive this cup and bread and what it represents to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what's your one thing? Remember, I've released you from having to remember everything. I just want you to remember one thing. Whatever it was, write it down and be ready. But as you stand with me across this place, I want to reiterate our filter. Would you commit to this week? Stand with me. Would you commit to honor up, honor down, and honor all around? Just wink at me and say, yeah, I'll do that, Pastor. Just shake it, yeah. Don't walk away from this. No, just another message. Sometimes I have to deal with that. I got to prepare another message. It comes every week. Seems like it comes faster sometimes. Oh my goodness, is it already Sunday? But this message is important to me. I hope it's important to you, because this changes everything. Honor up. Is that your one thing? Honor down. Honor all around. Father, I pray over my friends here. I love them with all my heart. And I believe you're releasing in us and through us today a culture that is contrary to our current culture, but is an opportunity for us to push back. And where there is dishonor, may we bring honor. Let it begin in the closest relationships of our lives, our marriages, our family, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, Lord, our family, that familiar place. Lord, could we be the difference as we move into this spirit of honor? Lord, I pray then it would ripple out. And in this congregation, that if there's one thing we will be known for, is we are people that know how to honor. Would you help us? It must have been important for Paul and Peter to start with it. So we want to pick it up and carry the mantle. Would you show us how to do that as we walk out this week? Next Sunday's going to come quick, but we got 7 days ahead of us. And maybe it's going to begin before we step out of our pew. Maybe it's going to begin before we leave this church. Maybe it will begin at the restaurant where we honor our waitress or our waiter. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else where we're going to meet people and you're going to use us to express the power of honor. Lord, help us to be encouragers wherever we go, to value at a price. And we repent of our past and we embrace the future. This is our commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be here to pray with you. Please take advantage. God bless you. We love you.